According to an imam from Virginia, quote unquote, Islam is only the solution to solve America's problems, and the United States will, quote unquote, be a Muslim nation, end of quote. We're going to talk about that right now with Robert Spencer of Jihad Watch, jihadwatch.org. He's a best-selling author on all things related to Islam. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Robert, thanks so much for joining us again.
Always good to talk to you, Jerry. Thank you.
Sure. And by the way, before we get into the heart and soul of this, I understand that you've been having some problems related to censorship of getting your message out, even though you're a New York Times best-selling author. What you write, you're very careful to document everything, but because some people are more concerned about Islamophobia than genuine attacks by radical Islamic believers or whatever, you are often censored in the public arena, especially now with social media and high tech.
Yeah, Jerry, there's a concerted effort right now to make sure that what happened in 2016 doesn't happen in 2018. The left has determined that the mainstream media, of course, is no longer so trusted and no longer so believed, and people were getting their information from the internet. So they are rapidly closing off all dissenting voices on the internet, trying to make sure that the only perspective that people hear is the far left agenda that will make sure that Democrat candidates are elected who will impeach the president and restore the socialist internationalist policies of his predecessor.
Where does Islam fit into this?
Well, the Socialist Internationalist Project is in large part dedicated to the mass Muslim migration into the West. Apparently, the leaders of Western Europe and the political elites of the West in general, they are committed to the idea that ethnicity itself is the problem, that they can erase the nation state, that they can destroy borders and distinctions between people, make everybody pretty much the same as everybody else. And then that will bring about peace because, of course, if everybody's pretty much the same as everybody else, there's no reason to fight anyone. And so this is their vision, but what ultimately it will result in is the mass Muslim migrant influx in the West will bring about a situation where you have a large number of people who believe that their view, their understanding of how society ought to be ordered and governed is superior to that of the land to which they're coming, and so they want to replace the one with the other. That's going to lead to civil strife and possibly even open warfare. Certainly, I hope it doesn't work out that way, but I don't see anything preventing it particularly.
All right, tell us about this Virginia imam.
The imam in Virginia was simply enunciating what is standard Islam, that Islam is the solution for all the world's problems. This is something that you often hear spoken by Muslim Brotherhood spokesmen, going back to Sayyid Qutb, who was the great Muslim Brotherhood theorist who was executed by the Nasser government in Egypt in 1966. And he wrote some very interesting treatises about how communism had failed, capitalism had failed, and now Islam was the solution. And Islam was going to answer all the world's problems. This is a commonplace because of the idea in Islam that it is the true religion, of course, and superior to all other religions, and also as a political system is superior to all other political systems. So he's just preaching what is the mainstream view, that were the Islamic law implemented in the United States, then all our problems would be solved. And he sees this as an inevitability, of course, because Allah works all things for his purposes. And so, of course, he's going to work to bring the U.S. under the fold of Islam.
So this Virginia imam, is predicting that one day the United States will be a Muslim nation. Aren't there about 300,000 churches in America? I mean, I know we've strayed very, very much from our Christian roots as a nation. Even just to even say that we have Christian roots is heresy nowadays in some quarters. But it's hard to picture, Muslims taking over the United States. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'll tell you, in terms of the churches, Jerry, seriously, let's think about that. In which church are people actually being taught that Muslims are going to try to convert you, that this is an alternative religion that is set against Western values and Judeo-Christian values to a tremendous degree, and here's how to answer Islamic proselytizing. I expect there might be one or two evangelical churches that do that around the country, but not significantly more than that.
Mm.
And as a whole, the churches, Protestant, Catholic, Orthodox, they are wholly unprepared for this. And not only that, but many leading evangelical leaders, Catholic leaders, and others, they are actually engaging in dialogue and interfaith outreach with Muslim leaders who very clearly only mean to use that dialogue as a means to proselytize for Islam. But because these Christian leaders are not informed about Islam and not informed about the intentions of the people they're dealing with, they go into it naively and end up getting manipulated. One primary example of that is the Common Word Initiative. A few years back, a group of Muslim scholars and leaders wrote an open letter to the Pope and to Christian leaders of all denominations, and they started it with an epigraph that's from the Quran that says, "Say to the people of the book," that is the Jews and Christians and some others, "let us come to a common word between us and you." That was the extent of the epigraph, and the document invited them to dialogue, to discuss, to find common ground. It all sounded wonderful, but if nobody seemed, in all the enthusiasm over the Common Word Initiative, nobody seemed to think to go back to the Quran and to check exactly where that verse came from. And the actual verse says, "Let us come to a common word between us and you, that you will worship none but Allah, and that you will not associate any partners with him." Now, this is specifically anti-Christian language, because in the Islamic scheme of things, the worship of Jesus as the Son of God is associating a partner with Allah in worship. And it's idolatrous in its nature. And so when they say, "Let us come to a common word between us and you, that you will associate no partners with Allah in worship," they're saying that you'll become Muslim. And the Christians don't have any idea that that's what the agenda is of the dialogue. If they just read the passage in the Quran, they'd see it. But nobody even thinks to do that.
Hmm. And then we often hear the statement, "Well, we all worship the same God anyway." Your thoughts?
Yeah, that's also from the Quran. See, the Muslim partners in the dialogue, they're working straight from their playbook. And it's because we don't know their playbook that we end up getting played. Chapter 29, verse 46 of the Quran says, "Say to the people of the book, your Allah and our Allah is the same." And so the Muslim spokesmen always come out and say that we worship the same God. And the issue is clouded by the fact that Arabic-speaking Christians do often use the word Allah for God. The Copts generally tend not to, because they've had such traumatic experiences with the Muslims over the centuries. They tend to reject that usage and avoid it. But the Maronites, the Melkites, other Arabic-speaking Christians, they use this term, they use this word Allah. But obscured in all this, and of course then the Catholic Church went on record also saying that together with us, the Muslims adore the one true, the one merciful God, and so on and so on. And so it's become practically a dogma in the Catholic Church that Muslims and Christians worship the same God. But the fact is, Jerry, that if you look at the actual theology, for example, in the New Testament, you've got that God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. In the Quran, you've got Allah saying, "If we had willed, we could have drawn all men to the truth. But instead, we will fill hell with jinns and men." Jinns are spirit beings. And so Allah is saying in the Quran that he could have guided everyone to the truth. He could have saved everyone. But instead, he's just going to send people to hell for the heck of it, because he wants to. He wants to torture people. That is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's not the God of the New Testament. And it is not the same God. But Christians are ignorant of these things, and so they allow themselves again and again to be manipulated into agreeing to these propositions that are pernicious at the core and lead to other false assumptions, false premises, and dangerous actions. One of the worst elements of this dialogue is that while Christians have been persecuted by Muslims all over the Middle East, violently over the last few years,
yeah.
and over a million uprooted from their ancestral homes that they have inhabited since the time of Christ himself, that now the Christian leaders in the West are mum about this to a tremendous degree and are saying nothing about it in any context because they don't want to harm the dialogue. And I was actually canceled from a Catholic conference in Massachusetts a few years back, and the bishop actually said that he was canceling me because they were having a wonderful dialogue with the Muslims in Boston, and he didn't want to mess that up. Now, look, can they point to any individual Christian who has been saved from persecution because of their dialogue? No, they can't. Can they point to any individual church that was not ransacked and burned and destroyed by Muslims because of their dialogue? No, they can't. All their dialogue does is make the participants feel good, and it prevents the church from having the prophetic voice that it is supposed to have in standing up for truth and for justice.
So when we consider this this imam from Virginia who's saying that one day the United States will be a Muslim nation and that Islam is really the only solution to solve America's problems, is this man atypical, or is this kind of typical of the kind of thing, and that the Christians are basically being hoodwinked by not realizing that, look, Islam wants to take over the world?
Yeah, this is very commonplace. This is standard stuff. And I'm sure that it's spoken in mosques all over the country. And it's just that this fellow happens to get videoed. And so it's out there. It's just like the other imams who recently have been caught praying that Allah would kill all the Jews. That's a standard prayer. That's a standard prayer that is prayed all over the world. And it just happens that these imams get filmed, and so they end up getting a little bit of negative publicity, or there's controversy over it, and then they retract, or they say they got carried away, or they say that they were taken out of context, or whatever their defenses are. But the fact is that if we had microphones in every mosque, we'd be hearing this kind of thing all over.
Oh, man. Well, now, this is so interesting, because you and Pamela Geller and others who warn us about radical Islam and so forth, you are often accused by the what I'll call the shock troops of tolerance, you know, the tolerant folk. You're accused, and yet kill the Jews. That's a very intolerant statement.
Well, yeah. I mean, the world is topsy-turvy, and the world is not what it ought to be. And so the people who are preaching hatred and violence are protected and cosseted and praised and lauded and privileged. And the people who point out that they're preaching hate and violence are vilified and marginalized and demonized. And that's, I suppose, the way the world has always been, or there wouldn't be martyrs.
Yeah, and, you know, it's so interesting, too. You think about even the Southern Poverty Law Center here. They say, oh, we're going to define who are the haters in America. And you know, unfortunately, you're on that list. The organization I work for, D. James Kennedy Ministries, is on that list as supposedly haters. But they don't highlight the people who actually do violence in the name of Islam. You know, and it's like, hello, who's the real hater here?
Yes, absolutely. And this goes back to the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, Jerry, which is 57 Muslim governments around the world, very powerful organization at the UN and elsewhere. And they have this Islamophobia Observatory, where they are observing instances of Islamophobia. And I'll tell you, it works exactly the same way. Some imam says, oh, Allah, kill all the Jews. And the Islamophobia Observatory of the OIC, of course, says nothing. But if I say, this imam said, kill all the Jews, then the Islamophobia Observatory swings into action and condemns me for Islamophobia. And so it's just obviously an attempt. This whole enterprise is obviously an attempt to silence all criticism of Islam, and to make sure that nobody dares to say a word, that is negative about Islamic Jihad terror or Sharia oppression of women or other people in any way.
Wow. Well, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for your courage. Jihadwatch.org, Robert Spencer. Thank you, Robert. God bless you.
Thank you, Jerry.